Welcome to Talking Stock. I'm your host, Doug Harvey, Director of the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Talking Stock is a space where colleagues can discuss teaching, scholarship, and service. Today's topic is visual literacy, and I have two guests with me today.
My name is Dr. Gia Kaligdan-Apostle, Associate Professor of Social Work, Social Work Program at Sobol here in Stockton University.
Hi, I'm Jung Lee. I'm a professor of instructional technology.
Jung Lee, thank you for joining me today to talk about visual literacy. I know that's something that both of you have dealt with in your own teaching. So I think the place to start would be to ask you both how you define it for yourselves. How do you define visual literacy?
Yeah. Let me start.
Yes.
Visual literacy is a field. It's been there for a long time, but it's not really emphasized because simply one of the reasons I believe is that the sight is natural. So everybody can see, you know, the picture and the graphs and things. So we think we have a visual literacy skills, but that's not really true. So by definition, I say visual literacy has two areas. One area is just like a text-based literacy. One is ability to understand the visuals correctly, and the other skill is use it and create it effectively to communicate.
Mm. Well, there's an old adage that a picture, you know, is worth a thousand words. So our students need to learn how to read pictures and be able to interpret how those pictures mean to them. And I think we all know that infants from the very early time, they're not learning how to read first. They're learning the signs and symbols. And especially as an immigrant coming to the United States, I had to learn signs and symbols because I come from another country.
Right.
So this is really an important component. Visual language should teach us how to navigate the world. And this is what we need for our students.
Good. So then what are some examples of the strategies or activities that you both use when you teach visual literacy to students?
First, to have them understand visually correctly, you know, one of the strategies is I show the visuals and then have them interpret. It can be applied to across the things. Sometimes professor assumed student understand the visuals, like graph, chart, everything. But did they really ask what that means? You will be surprised how student misinterpret that chart and graphs. And I wanna ask professors and also myself from time to time ask them what that really means, how much they know about the visuals. And that's the one part of understanding. The other part of creating and developing is I try to emphasize very basic principles. Visual literacy is not for graph artists or, you know, artist things. It's a literacy, so after like a simple strategy, like, you know, put similar information together, proximity, and then consistency, make information present consistently same way, and then, you know, emphasize it. If you want to, like, heading, for example, heading should be different from the main text. So that's kind of simple principles can apply throughout any areas.
Yeah. Well, I'm guilty in doing death by PowerPoint. Okay, so I said, how can I enhance my work to put the message across to my students? So one of the things that I've done in one of my presentations is to demonstrate through visual communication a selected topic in social work organization. And I discussed this in my social work organization and environments class. So I use Pichakucha. And that's one technique, right? It's a PowerPoint presentation format consisting of 20 slides that are shown for 20 seconds each. In this presentation, I use this kind of Pichakucha presentation format can be a powerful tool in aligning my lessons on leadership, cultural competence, ethical reasoning, and problem solving in social organizations. So it behooves me to think that students are able to choose pictures based on their interpretation of what, for example, cultural competences or leadership or ethical reasoning. And so they are empowered to interpret by not just selecting, but also interpreting. So that gives me another layer of helping them understand their own world and from their own perspective. The other thing that I did in a social organization is using visual contrasts in teaching power, privilege, class, and conflict theory. These are four different concepts. So how do I merge them? Yeah. So what I did was I asked the students to choose a visual contrast. You know, like what is one over the other? Those polarized views of the world. They were able to, you know, to make a point to say, okay, I know what power is based, and then I know now what conflict theory is based on pictures. I thought that's something that I'm really excited about.
You know, it occurred to me that I guess visuals would be better for teaching complex interrelated concepts than text, because text tends to be a linear format.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I have some example. Like when I visited Libya country, and I saw the bathroom. I mean, even I'm very interested in old signs, and especially bathroom signs. and I saw very interesting signs. It's a woman's bathroom, and then what do you call that? The Muslim
burqa.
Burqa. Yes. Uh-huh. So the bathroom sign looks like a fat lady because it's a the lady is wearing that what do you call it? Sorry,
burqa, or it could burqa.
Burqa. Yeah. So,
or if it's all black, it's chador.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the lady sign with a big cross, and I showed that bathroom sign to student, and then they what is this bathroom for? And then my student said it's a bathroom for fat lady.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's just like a. And then I said no, this is the bathroom from Muslim countries, and it's that kind of thing. So you can from visual, you can tell more stuff immediately. Once I said that. Oh, and they can see the really cultural difference.
Yeah, I agree. I took a trip to Australia once, and I was fascinated by their signs because their signs are so different. Mm-hmm. In some ways, they are the same. Like, you know, instead of a deer, it's a kangaroo. Mm-hmm. But then other signs, they're really explicit about, like, don't go over the railing because you'll die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's a picture of somebody falling down with X's in their eyes. I'm like, that's a sign? Like, that's an actual sign created by the government? you know?
For an adventurous American, we'll probably say, hey,
I can go there.
So, really, visual can teach a lot of information easily.
And tragically, I would say, when I showed a picture of a young child that was washed in the Mediterranean, by the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. It was a young child that has a pose, like, as if playing in the sand. And he had a red shirt. And there was a man right beside him. And my students, believe that, not all, but, you know, a couple of my students said, oh, the boy is just playing in the sand. When in fact, he was washed into the shoreline. And it was one of those immigrants that were on a boat, you know, fleeing the country. And I thought, so they realized this, and this is a powerful image, but the initial thought is nothing about that. So I feel that we all have interpretations of things, and in looking at the students, we also have to think that there are multiple ways of learning and teaching, and one of which is how do you now use this visual literacy in the multiple ways of learning, and it's using senses, seeing, hearing, even smelling. Mm-hmm. You know,
touching. So
touching. Yeah. Those are very important components of visual literacy.
Sure.
Yeah. The more senses involved, we learn faster and more. And yes.
So, what's the biggest challenge then to teaching visual literacy to students that you find in your classes?
of course, it's time, you know, time factor, because, you know, you have to be really crafty in choosing some pictures to drive your point. Or you can also empower your students, of course, to choose. But it's nice to even look at, you know, the professors, the lecturer's perspective, and of course the student's perspective, and see how that is going to be interpreted. Mm. So yes, it's the time factor. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, for me, yeah, one of the things students think they have visual literacy skills, mm-hmm. and so. I know all this. What do I know more? And then we, when we talk about it, you know, they can see things more. And that's my pleasure.
Sure.
When the student realize they didn't really know visuals. But not only student. I think many people has, you know, I have visual literacy skills.
Sure. Yeah, and I think we do the same thing with information literacy and yeah. technology literacy.
Well, because the students also live, we all live in a saturated, visual saturated mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. Just have, you know, one of the things the students may have thought, well, that I know I saw was, okay, it's another picture that I'm seeing here. So the level of importance of that picture when you select it for the students will be different for themselves. So I have to teach my students to be, you know, to prepare them to be, you know, in more mindful mm-hmm. and meditative to a point before you attack the picture, you know. So you have to have a sense of, like, step back, take a look at everything, mm-hmm. look at the details before you dive in and say, hey, sure. this is what it is. Yeah. So, but it's nice, it's a nice conversation because people have different interpretations.
Okay. Yeah. So someone starting out, a colleague starting out and wanting to teach visual literacy, what would you advise them to start with?
When you show the visuals, one thing I want to emphasize is ask student, what do you see that you say that? You know, ask them what you see and then ask them, where do you find that information? Mm-hmm. And then have them think about critically, you know. I see, for example, a man standing there and looks like he's poor guy. And what do you see that makes you say that? You know, it's a kind of bottom of the critical thinking thing.
Yeah.
You know, as a new faculty, maybe one place to start is to think about pictures on a historical mm-hmm. basis. How do you arrange it historically? You know, from the past to the present. And, you know, for example, I did a presentation on, or I have a presentation on the pictures that I gathered for the Women's March in 2017. Now, if I contrast these pictures with the march during the time of Martin Luther King in August 1968 would have been different pictures.
Yeah.
So, but it's probably saying the same message. I don't know that, but it's, you have to look at it from the historical perspective. Mm-hmm. That's one. The other is, what does the faculty want in terms of a theme? Mm-hmm. So if you have a theme, you can allow your students to actually ask for pictures from them, or you choose a couple of pictures that really drives the point.
Good. We've come to the stock tips portion of the show, where we share resources. So I'm wondering what tips you would have for people that might want to learn more about teaching visual literacy.
Yes, I strongly recommend there is an organization, International Visual Literacy Association, IVLA. I'm a very active member of that organization. Actually, I'm vice president of the IVLA. It's very interdisciplinary organization, totally interdisciplinary, and from different field, and we all focus on this visual literacy. So I strongly recommend join this IVLA and or email me.
And there's a conference coming up.
Yes.
And I was able to participate twice already. I love it. You know, it's just like what Jung said. it is interdisciplinary, and I think I was the only social worker there, but I connected with some of those people who talked about race, for example, and also looking at other areas. You know, I want my students to be also multifaceted in their understanding of the world as well as their own profession, how one profession connects with the mm-hmm. other. Mm-hmm. So I say, oh, this mm-hmm. is great, because I see the environment. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, the social aspects of things, interpretation of certain issues mm-hmm. that are different from the mm-hmm. perspective mm-hmm. of being mm-hmm. a social worker. Mm-hmm. So I think I really like that a lot. And, of course, as a budding person in this mm-hmm. field, I use the internet, you know, because uh-huh. it's a lot mm-hmm. of pictures, especially now more than before. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go to museums and, you know, libraries to say, look, I need a specific picture. Mm-hmm. They're all out there, and it's just a matter of crafting your skill and choosing the best ones for yourself.
Is there a particular mm-hmm. website you like to search pictures of, the Flickr or Google?
Right. Well, for the topic, visual literacy, definitely, right? And then some museums, you know, you can go to museums. I usually, if it's very specific to a country, like, the, you know, for example, I have a class in Philippine culture and history. Of course, I choose, you know, to have those pictures from that.
Okay.
But news clipping, I mean, newspapers like mm-hmm. BBC okay. and mm-hmm. CNN, those are
another powerful. Also, another organization I know is called Visual Thinking Strategy, VTS.
VTS.
And they emphasized visual and critical thinking skills. They want to connect critical thinking through visual literacy and vice versa.
Okay.
And I recommend that site. There is a site and there is a training.
I'll make sure I get that in the show notes that go up on the website with every podcast. Jung, Gia, thank you very much for spending time with me. If somebody wants to talk more about this with either of you, is there a way to reach you online?
Yes, email me, leej@stockton.edu. Also, I'm going to be the next, IFD? Faculty fellow.
For visual literacy.
Yes, right. Likewise, I am available as a resource for those who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be email?
Oh, and GUIA.CALICDAN. /apostle@stockton.edu.
I'll make sure that gets in the show notes as well.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Talking Stock is a podcast produced by me, Doug Harvey, for the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Visit our website, www.stockton.edu/IFD, where you can find a link to show notes and transcripts for every episode. The music for Talking Stock is provided by the Organic Music Library, www.organicmusiclibrary.com. Thank you for listening.